Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We have been going through a speech given by 13th President Ezra Taft Benson, a speech that was called The 14 Fundamentals in Following the Prophet. We might mention that at the time he gave this speech, in February 26, 1980, he was at that time an apostle in the Mormon Church. But because of his seniority, he was next in line to become the next president of the Mormon Church, and he did so after the death of Spencer W. Kimball. We have been going through his speech point by point, and today we are going to look at point number five. Point number five reads how:
the prophet is not required to have any particular earthly training or credentials to speak on any subject or act on any matter at any time.
Now, that's very profound, because certainly Mormon apologists have rejected that notion. But let's look at what Ezra Taft Benson actually said about that statement in support of it. He said, "Sometimes there are those who feel their earthly knowledge on a certain subject is superior to the heavenly knowledge which God gives to his prophet on the same subject. They feel the prophet must have the same earthly credentials or training which they have had before they will accept anything the prophet has to say that might contradict their earthly schooling. How much earthly schooling did Joseph Smith have? Yet he gave revelations on all kinds of subjects, many of which were most profound. We haven't yet had a prophet, so far as I know, who earned a doctorate degree in any particular subject. But as someone said, a prophet may not have his PhD, but he certainly has his LDS. We encourage earthly knowledge in many areas. That is good. We teach it. We believe it. But remember, if there is ever a conflict between earthly knowledge and the words of the prophet, you stand with the prophet and you'll be blessed and time vindicates you."
We might want to mention the difference between the press copy and what he actually said, which is what you read. So if people are going and looking it up.
Right. If you notice that I might add a few words to this, that's because we're going from a transcript of the speech as it was actually given, not according to the press copy. And you'll probably find that there's PDF versions and even a version on the LDS.org website that is also abbreviated. We are going with the speech as it was actually given. So anyway, talking about that, we've been quoting from a book called Shaken Faith Syndrome. Now, it was written by a man named Michael Ash, who works with a Mormon apologetic organization called FAIR. And the reason why we're quoting Ash's book is because you and I both, Eric, get the impression that perhaps the reason why the 14 Fundamentals speech was reintroduced to the membership
in 2010,
after 2 years after this book came out, is maybe because there were a lot of Mormons that were holding on to some of the rebuttals that Michael Ash has produced. For instance, when it comes to this issue of earthly credentials, what does Michael Ash say in response? Well, I should say, what does Michael Ash say about whether or not a prophet should be believed when it comes to statements that he makes?
I want to read a couple of paragraphs. One's on page 25 of his book, and it says this: "Some members seem to think that a prophet should know everything about everything, but this is not the obligation of a prophet. Should a prophet know everything about quantum physics or chemistry? What about astronomy, geology, or numerology? Do we really want to believe that Old Testament prophets had a complete understanding of the cardiovascular system or operating laws of photons? Yet some members think that modern prophets should never make mistakes in matter of history, geography, or geology, especially if they believe such matters relate to Scripture. We shouldn't expect prophets, including modern-day prophets, to have a complete understanding of all gospel principles or all gospel-related issues, nor should we expect them to be free of prejudice, cultural bias, and traditions." And then one other paragraph, and this is on page 33. He says, in some ways, traditions seem to follow Newton's first law of motion, which states in part that an object in motion tends to stay in motion unless acted upon by extraneous forces, until some new information unbalances our traditional views and makes us critically examine those views. We generally tend to uncritically accept most traditions, even when they are wrong. Prophets, like other mortals, accept traditions that may be in error simply because they've never thought about challenging such traditions.
Now, that seems to go completely against the grain.
It does.
To what Ezra Taft Benson says in this particular point. Because remember, again, Benson said that these type of people feel that prophet must have the same earthly credentials or training which they have had before they will accept anything the prophet has to say that might contradict their earthly schooling. And it sounds like Ash thinks that, well, no, earthly schooling does come into play. But again, we have to go back to what Benson actually says on this subject. He says, remember, if there is ever a conflict between earthly knowledge and the words of the prophet, you stand with the prophet and you'll be blessed and you'll be vindicated. Now, let's look what John Witzo, a Mormon apostle, said about this. He said, and this is found in Evidences and Reconciliations, page 238, every member of the church, and all men for that matter, would do well to give heed, and indeed should do so, to any public utterance or to the unofficial counsel of the man who has been called to the office of prophet. One cannot limit him by saying that on some subjects pertaining to human welfare he may not speak. The spiritual and the temporal one have ever been blended in the Church of Christ. Obedience to the counsels of the prophet brings individual and collective power and joy. Of all men, the prophet of the Lord should, at all times, have most influence with the Latter-day Saints. No other cause can be greater than that of the Church of Christ. So here we have John Witzo, of course, placing the utterances of the living prophet far above the standards of any earthly knowledge. Again, the Latter-day Saints are told that if you have a choice between the two, the safe route is to follow the prophet, even if he's wrong, but then they say he can't be wrong.
Even if he has a PhD in that subject?
Well, they don't have PhDs in Mormonism.
Well, I mean, I'm saying what he says, even a prophet may not have his PhD.
Oh, yeah.
But he has his
LDS.
And that right there shows that he has authority, even in areas that he doesn't have a quote-unquote degree in.
Well, let me go on, because Witzo also says on page 238 of the same book, Evidences and Reconciliations, thus the burden of proof is upon the hearer, not alone upon the speaker. Whoever quibbles about the validity of a message of the prophet would do well to engage in a serious self-examination. Is the trouble with him? Perhaps he is not in tune with truth. Perhaps he does not live the law of the gospel in such manner as to respond to the message of truth. President Joseph F. Smith, who was the sixth president, declared that those who honor their own priesthood first will honor it in those who preside over them. So he is telling the membership that you better not quibble over this kind of stuff, that you better just fall in line, because if you don't, you need to have the self-examination. Isn't that kind of the message that we're being told by some of these Mormon apologists, that we're actually allowed to quibble over this and we're actually allowed to disagree with them? But the ultimate thing, of course, is that you have to fall in lockstep in your loyalty. If you're going to disagree with the Mormon leadership, you would probably do best to keep it to yourself. Because if it starts getting too much public play and causes any embarrassment to the Mormon leadership, you're probably going to find yourself being disciplined for that. Maybe not in all cases, but certainly in some. And we do know in past history of them actually punishing members who do speak out against the leadership. What did Richard L. Evans, a Mormon apostle, say in conference back in 1940?
Yeah, in October of 1940, page 61 of conference reports, he said, besides this, we have our living prophet for whom I am grateful, and I hope to follow after him all the days of my life. I know when I don't follow him, I am wrong. And I know that when I do, I am right, even if I don't agree with him. To those who only follow him when they do agree with him, he is not a prophet unto them.
So when I don't follow the prophet, I'm wrong. Doesn't that sound like kind of a mixed message, though? Because
yeah.
We've read earlier how Mormons are given this personal revelation. They're supposed to decide whether or not a Mormon leader is telling the truth. In fact, we quoted John Witzow, who basically talks about this. But yet, if a Mormon disagrees, according to Richard L. Evans, it sounds like you're wrong.
Well, this is contrary to what Michael Ash is saying in his book, Shaken Faith Syndrome. And I'm just going to say that until I see an imprint with Deseret Book on this book, I guess I just can't believe this compared to what the Mormon leadership is saying.
Michael Ash used to be a writer for the Mormon Times. He isn't any longer. And I know that a lot of Mormons certainly didn't agree with some of his conclusions. And they were very critical in the comment sections of some of his pieces that he wrote. Still, he's not there anymore. There could be all sorts of reasons for that. But anyway, let me quote what Bruce McConkie says about this, because it seems to fit exactly what we're talking about today. Bruce McConkie, in an article for The Ensign called The Caravan Moves On, and you can find this in the November 1984 edition, page 84, said, "No true Latter-day Saint will ever take a stand that is in opposition to what the Lord has revealed to those who direct the affairs of his earthly kingdom. No Latter-day Saint who is true and faithful in all things will ever pursue a course or espouse a cause or publish an article or book that weakens or destroys faith. There is, in fact, no such thing as neutrality where the gospel is concerned." Yet if I was a Latter-day Saint and I was struggling with some of these issues, I don't know if the book Shaken Faith Syndrome would actually help me.
Well, that's what he wrote it for. He wrote it for people who are struggling with their faith.
You would think so, but yet if I was reading some of the comments that Michael Ash is making in this, it seems to do exactly what Bruce McConkie said, and that is weaken my faith and my trust in what the leaders say, because I've never heard any statements like this, that like Michael Ash has said. I've never heard Mormon leaders say those kind
of
things.
Never seen it in a general conference. I've never seen it in any kind of a manual.
No, they don't admit to making mistakes, I should say. They don't admit to these kind of things. So it might be okay for a Mormon apologist to make a statement like that, but we certainly don't see comments like this coming over the pulpit, especially in general conference.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.